Go to 1 Samuel chapter 27. We'll read one verse. We'll pray and ask the master for his help this morning. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Good crowd this morning. Praise God. Amen. A lot of folks out sick, but we thank God for those who made it and those who are watching as well. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 27 and verse 1, and David said in his heart, I shall not perish or shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. We're going to talk this morning, this little thought, listening to your feelings. Listening to your feelings. Father, I pray this morning for your help. I pray, God, you fill the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, you show us the truth. And I pray, God, that truth would free us, that truth would help us, deliver us, rescue us, and do whatever else, God, you'd have for it to do. For that, Father, we'll thank you. Thank you for all the good singing today from the adult choir and the youth choir. And thank you, Lord, for the singing that touched the heart. For that, God, we praise you. And I just ask, God, that right now you take your word and touch our hearts. You take your word and warm our hearts. That you take your word and increase our faith and our confidence in a living, true God. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. And then, God, there's one among us who's not sure of their standing with you as far as salvation is concerned. I pray, God, they get it settled today. For that one who may be wandering that is already saved, I pray, God, they come back to the Father's fold. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. But help somebody, because somebody needs your help. And would you please, sir, start with me. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Bless those who are watching and those who will be watching later. For it's your son's name we pray. Jesus, amen. Amen. May be seated. Listening to your feelings. As I studied this passage of scripture, I was somewhat surprised by what I learned from this particular chapter. This chapter is showing us a side of David that we don't often talk about. But nonetheless, it's a side of David. And the more that I'm studying David, the more that I'm preaching about David, I'm realizing more and more how much David is like us in so many different types of ways. And one of those ways, and this is verse here, and about his feelings, his emotions. And we have to be careful about listening to our feelings. The Bible teaches us about that. We all have a heart and we all have a will, emotions. But the question is this: can I trust my feelings? Can I trust my heart? Can I trust it? Because a lot of times we'll say things like, you know, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Well, don't raise your hand. But how many of us have made that statement, I'm going to follow my heart? You followed your heart and got messed up. Amen. Because your heart can lead you into a wrong place. And there's biblical verses that talk about that. One of those is in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9. The Bible says, straight from the pages of God's word, verse 9 says, in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Watch this. Who can know it? He goes on to say, I, the Lord, search the heart. I investigate, I examine the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God said, I know. I can examine the heart. I can investigate the heart. I know what's going on in the heart. That's what the Lord says. But when it comes down to us, he says, the heart, the inner man, is deceitful, is sly, is crooked above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we say, I trust my heart. I trust my emotions. I trust what I feel. But so often, when we go by what we feel, it gets us into so much trouble. Watch what the Bible says in Proverbs 16, or 28 rather, and verse number 21. Now this is going to sting a little bit. If you say ouch, that's okay. Okay, I've already said ouch already for myself. But look at Proverbs 28 and verse number 21. Now this is what the Bible says. Don't y'all get mad at me. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse number 21, the word of God says this. He says in verse 21 of Proverbs 28, that don't even look right. Amen. Let me see here. They moved it. Amen. Let me see where they moved it to. Amen. There we go, verse 26. Drop down to verse 26. The Bible says, he that trusteth, watch this, in his own heart is what? Whoop, my soul. The Bible says, he that trusteth, and that word that trusteth means to have confidence in his own heart, his own inner man, his own will, his own understanding, the Bible says, is a fool. He's silly. He goes on to say, but whoso walketh wisely with wisdom, he shall be delivered. But somebody said, I'm going to trust my own heart. I can't trust your heart. Guess what? I can't trust mine either. And the Bible says, for me to trust it is an unwise thing. It's a foolish thing. It's a silly thing to trust my heart. Because sometimes your heart, your inner man, your feelings, your emotions will lead you down the wrong path. How many a person have said, oh, I just love them in my heart. I mean, I can't live without them in my heart. And that was 15 years ago. And they're so thankful that they got out of that situation. Woo, praise the Lord. I was delivered from my heart. Amen. Listen, my dear friends, you can't trust your heart, but you can trust God. You can't trust your heart, but you can trust the word of God. My dear friends, your heart, our hearts, our emotions will fool us and trick us time and time and time again. And what we see, my dear friends, when you go back to this verse of 1 Samuel, that's what happened with David. That's what happened with David. The Bible said verse 1 of chapter 27, and David said where?
In his heart.
In his inner man, in his mind, in his will, in his feelings. This is what David says. I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. I'm going to be destroyed by Saul. Now remember, Saul's been chasing him and Saul's been lying and saying, okay, I ain't going to bother you. I was wrong. And then here come again. And so the last time in chapter 27 or chapter 26, he says the same thing, but David said, I can't trust him. But notice he does not consult with God. Instead, the Bible says, he said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Now, how are you going to perish by the hand of Saul when God's already told you that you're going to be king of Israel? Right. In other words, what happened, my dear friends, is apparently his spirits are low. He's tired, perhaps. He's weary, perhaps. And he's tired of running from Saul. He said, man, if I stay here, he's going to kill me. But if we believe what God says, say, you know what, I'm going to stay here until God says move. Because we're going to go read the verse, but I'll give it to you over in 1 Samuel chapter number, 1 Samuel chapter number, well, let's go over there. Look at 22. Look at 22. 1 Samuel chapter number 22. And look down at verse number 5. And this is all in the same situation somewhat. And the Bible says in verse 5 of chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, and the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hole, depart and get thee into the land of what? Judah, not Philistia. God did not tell him to go to Philistia, nor be around the Philistines. But David, going back to 1 Samuel 27, David begins to talk to himself. His feelings are talking to him. And David says, if I stay here, I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. Our first point is he lost focus. He lost focus. And he says, if I stay here, I'm going to die. And look what he says I'm going to do next. I'm going to leave them. He says, in the same part of the verse, he says, there's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape. I got to get out of here. Slip away. Into the land of what? The Philistines. And then he says, and Saul shall despair, shall be hopeless, or desist me to seek me anymore in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So what he says is this, you know what? I'm not going to stay here, but if I leave and go to Philistia, if I go be around the Philistines who are the enemy, I go live in their land, then he's not coming over there. And my dear friends, he is lost focus because God has not at any time said, hey, David, I want you to go to Philistia. He did not say that. He said, instead, David, stay in Judah. But it's hot in Judah. It's tiresome in Judah. I'm being chased by Saul in Judah. sometimes when we lose our focus, because our feelings get in the way, and we feel like, you know what, I'm tired of this. You know, I know what God said, but you know what, it ain't working. Maybe I need to do something else. Does that remind you about somebody named Abraham? Yeah. God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. And year after year went by, and he getting old. He said, well, what are we going to do? And Sarah said, well, I'll tell you what, got my handmaid over here. He gets Hagar. She has a child, Ishmael. And then several years later, a lot of years later, then finally she does get pregnant. And God tells me, Ishmael ain't the one. It's Isaac. And now we got a problem that still exists today. Because somebody wasn't following God's directions and decided, I'm going to work some things out myself. When you and I try to work it out ourselves, my friends, there's going to be trouble. But so number one, we see that he had lost focus. And then secondly, he leaves the promised land. Verse 2. And David arose and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. He left the promised land and went to the Philistine land. And then, my dear friends, we see that he lives somewhere else. Watch this. Verse 3 says this. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Hinnom, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. So now David can say, see, that I was right. Because I left and went to be with the Philistines, he's not going to bother me. Let's bring it home. So you know what? I'm tired of these folks, this job. Backbiting, stabbing, cutting, and cussing. And I'm out of here. I quit. And you leave that job and say, nah, I ain't got to fool them folks no more. Well, what great stress relief. But question, did God tell you to quit? Did we consult him? But God don't want me to be in a place like that. How do you know? Well, because I just know that that's what God wants from me. Did you ask him? What did he say? A lot of times, my dear friends, we'll leave a place prematurely and then wind up staying somewhere longer than we should have stayed, my friends, because that's not what God wanted us in the first place. And we see, my friends, that David leaves the promised land. He leaves some and lives somewhere else. And he's left alone by Saul. He relocates in verse 5. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, he says this, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee in your kingdom, in your dominion? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day, or the writing of this scripture. So you know what? David's using some wisdom here, because remember last time he was there with this same king, them folks say, you know what? We're going to have to take care of David. They was after get David. So they said, if I stay here, there's going to be problems. Just give me some other place. And they give him Ziklag. Now things seem to be going okay, but now watch this. Then we see next, lives are destroyed. Verse 8 says, and David and his men went up and invaded the Gershurites and the Gerzites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old, the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Lives are destroyed. See, well, they were the enemy. Did God tell them to go get the enemy? Now, they were the enemy. But see, this is how it works. We'll go somewhere where God didn't tell us to go, and we'll get some results, or seemingly good results, because these are the enemy. But God did not tell him to be where he was at. But we try to justify. Well, see, there, I don't know how many times I've heard this as a pastor. Well, you know what? I'm glad that did happen, because by that happening, then I would have learned this. So, let me find that scripture. You ain't got to go through everything to learn from it. My dear friends, I've done enough drugs, but I ain't never stuck no needle in my arm. Because, my friends, during that time of period, I saw what was happening to people. And my dear friend, like, I don't want to experience that. My goodness. You know, when I got married, I didn't get married to get a divorce. Divorce is not even an option. When we got married, it's the death do us part, my dear friends. Because if I've been sitting thinking, well, you know what, in case we don't, you know, work out, you get the microwave, I'll get this, and I'll get, you're doomed. You're doomed already, amen. My dear friends, what are you saying, preacher? I've seen homes that have been destroyed because of divorce. I'm a product of that myself, my dear friends. And listen, my friends, I don't want that kind of stuff. So, but I ain't got to experience it to know that that's no good. A lot of times, because certain things come out a certain way, we'll try to justify it. But now watch this. These folks are killed, and then David does something else. He's in the wrong place. Then David lies. Look at verse number 10. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? Where you been, Dave? And David said, against the south of Judah, against the south of the Jermalites, and against the south of the Kenites. Those are people who are a part of the Israel's group. That's where I've been at. I've been whooping up on them folks. David is lying. What does the Bible say about lying? Somebody said, well, the Bible said, you know, I mean, it depends on the situation. I'm sorry, wait. Where's it? Where's that verse at? Depends on your situation. So why stole? Because I was hungry. Oh, I'm sorry. If you're hungry, steal. Okay. Where's that at? He lies. But my dear friends, he would not have had to lie if he had not been there in the first place. And a lot of times, my dear friends, because we are following our emotions, we are following our feelings, and now we're getting into a situation, and now we're lying about it. And by the way, when he killed them folks, it wasn't because God said it. How do you know that? Look at the next verse. We see David's logic. Verse 11. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us. Saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. So see, David did not kill them because God said, there are times in the Old Testament when God says, wipe everybody out. But here, David's not doing it for that reason. David says, so they don't tell. So they all wiped out, so they won't be able to say nothing about it. So in other words, and by the way, the people he attacked were far enough away from where he was at here with Gath. They have no car, okay? So they wouldn't have been able to find out what was happening over here. He just took him at his word. But his reason, his logic, was because he did not want them to tell. Let me ask us, what's the reason you do what you do? What's your logic behind it? Well, you know, so that, what's your real reason? Because we can fake it now. Oh, for God's glory. Remember them folks that got struck dead? When they came and they was giving stuff? And remember they sold it for so much? And after they sold it, they came and they asked, and the disciples asked them, they said, did you give it for so much? They said, yep, sure did. And the husband was first. He went down. Dead. And then, my dear friends, his wife, she come back. She come from Macy's. She come back over there, amen. And she goes, hey. He said, hey, did y'all ask and sell this for such and such? And she said, yep. He said, look at see them folks' feet there? Them the same feet that carried your husband out. They finna carry you out right now. Say what? Boom. She died. Remember what the apostle told them? He said, that was your stuff. You could have gave part of it. You could have given, you had to give all of it. But they wanted to pretend like they was giving all of it because they saw what had happened with, was it Barnabas? How Barnabas was praised for what he had done. And so they wanted that praise too. And they fell down dead. But they came and they're like, hey, this is why we're doing it. And by the way, sometimes folks, shouldn't say this Christmas time. But still, sometimes folks help other folks for recognition. Yeah. Yeah. On the pretense of, you know, I'm just being a good Samaritan. You know, I'm just being a godly Christian. I'm just being a godly, you know. But yet we got it all over the place in life. Look what I did. Put on the marquee. My dear friends, listen, motive has a whole lot to do with whether or not God will bless us for what we have done. And in this case, my dear friends, God wasn't going to bless David because of this situation right here. David was in a place where God did not tell him to be. Why? Here's my point. Because he's following his heart. Not following God's word. God's word says stay in Judah. But his heart says, I'm going to die here. What is your heart telling you? I ain't answered the word yet. What is your heart saying to you? And watch this, my dear friends. We see that David's longevity because of his decision. Verse 12 says, and Achish believed David, saying he had made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. You know how long he was there? Here's David's longevity. Look in verse 7. The Bible says, in the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. For 16 months, he was in the area of the Philistines. For over a year and almost a year and a half, he was outside of the will of God. And my dear friends, in just a little while, when he first left, it was going to be 3 years after that when God was going to let him be king. But I wonder how short a time it would have been if he stayed where he's supposed to be at. Yeah. What are you trying to say, preacher? Sometimes, my dear friends, because we have followed our heart, it's caused us to be in a situation, in a place longer than we need to be. And for a year and 4 months, for 16 months, he's in a place that he should not have even been. So that tells me this. He was going through that stuff there. By the way, we're going to see this a little bit later, because when he gets ready to go out to fight with the enemy and they tell him to come on, and then some of the other guys said, no, we don't want David with us because I heard about him killing, they got them songs about him and Saul. He comes back home to Ziklag. And guess what happened? Somebody came in the camp, the Amalekites, have taken all their women and children. And my dear friends, then the people turned on David and they wanted to kill David. And it was then when David says that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But before that time, before that moment, we don't see David talking to God. Instead, my friends, David is listening to his heart. Yeah. Listen, my friends, your heart can tell you a whole lot of stuff. They'll jack you up. Yeah. The Bible says here in verse 1, and David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day. Saul's going to kill me. Saul couldn't touch him because God had anointed him to be king. Even Saul said, David, you're going to be king. And when you be king, don't forget my family. Even Abigail, was it Abigail? Abigail had told him, yeah, you're going to be king. You're going to be in charge. By the way, the prophet Samuel, who had anointed him, said, David, you're going to be king. Matter of fact, David knew he was going to be king, but because he listened to his heart, his feelings, his emotions, he winds up in a place for 14 months or 16 months when he doesn't have to be there. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be somewhere that God don't want me for a long time like that. Read about Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for how many days, y'all? The Bible says after 3 days, he cries out to God. And God has the fish to vomit him on land. That tells me something. What does it tell you, preacher? On day one, he could have been out. Yeah. On day two, he could have been out. Finally, he remembers and calls out to God. Sometimes, my friends, we're in a situation longer than we need to be in. And my friends, we don't have to be there for 3 days. It could be just one day. Matter of fact, it ain't got to be one day. If Jonah had just went to Nineveh in the first place, he could avoid all that. He says it was like being hell itself in that fish. Yeah. We swim around him, choking him. All kind of stuff was happening in the belly of that fish. He was following his emotions too, y'all. Because he didn't like them folks in Nineveh. What's leading us? Our heart or God's word? What did he say? What did he say? Oh, I want the blessings of God upon my family. He says, okay, I need you to worship. I need you to serve. I need you to be in the word. You know, I need you to do. I don't do all that. Man, why I got to do all that stuff, you know? I mean, that's just simple little stuff. I mean, you know the simple things lead to bigger things? But yet those things that seem so insignificant are so major. But what are we listening to? David, let's look at it again in verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast. You know what I keep saying here, y'all? Watch this. And David said in his heart, there's nothing better for me than that I. He goes on to say, Saul shall despair of me to seek me. So shall I. A lot of eyes up in there, man. And that's the world we live in today. Hey, it's all about me and what I want. I mean, I want to be my own person. You don't tell me what to do. I put on Facebook because I was messing with Jolene. We're done. I messed with Jolene because we go up in the doctor's office. And so they take her blood pressure. It was 155 over 90 something. And she says, this is high. And she says, you've been taking medicine. And Jolene was like, yeah. And so I did her like she do me. I said, hope she ain't watching. I said, I thought you missed a couple of days. And you were saying that. And then she said that I did. But she said, but and she was trying to explain it. And so Lane checked it again. It was 162 or something. And she said, it was my fault. And so, but y'all don't understand. I'm trying to tell y'all, listen, freedom. Listen, when I go to the doctor's office, y'all don't be knowing. We be riding in the car. Jolene, I said, Jolene, why are you taking my pressure up? You know, I'm going to go to the doctor. You doing little stuff. You know, I'm not trying to get your pressure up. I'm like, so. So then let people leave, right? We're sitting in there. I love my wife to death. And so we're sitting there. And so I'm just talking, having a conversation. And so she's saying to me, you know, you just need to, she didn't say be quiet, she didn't need to shut up. I mean, it's a free country, it's America. Listen, so she's like, well, I'm going to leave. I'm going to get to leave. I said, leave? I said, you're not going to leave. I said, I dare you to leave. And y'all know, I was having fun. And I said, I dare you to leave. Like, we're sitting in office, man. I said, I dare you to leave. So she gets up. She grabs a purse. She grabs a check. I'm sitting in a chair, and she walks out the door and closes the door behind me. I'm sitting there. I said, well, when Doc come in, I said, well, she gone. Amen. Of course, she came on back in there. She smiled. We laughed. We had a good time. But nonetheless, my dear friend, I don't even know how I get in the story. But nonetheless, oh, about your heart, man. I don't even know how I met him. Yeah. Listen, sometimes your emotions, that's it, your emotions can get you in trouble. And they got me and Jolene in trouble. But nonetheless, what are you following? What are you listening to? If you listen to your heart versus listening to what God says, you can be in a place longer than what you need to be. And you might wind up lying too. There might be other lives that are affected as well. A lot of people died here. And sometimes when we're following our heart, it's going to cause devastation. I got two questions. We're done. First question is this. What is your heart saying? What is your heart saying? The second question is a simple question. Is this, what does God say? What does God say? And my last one's a simple little statement. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Father, I've tried my best to convey the message that you gave for me to deliver to these precious souls that have gathered here this morning to worship you. And Father, you're trying to show us from the word of God that it's a dangerous thing to just listen to our hearts, because you've shown us through the scriptures that our hearts are deceitful. It'll deceive us. It'll lead us down the wrong path. but God, you never will. Perhaps, God, there's some of my brothers and my sisters are here this morning. They want to talk to you about some issues, some situations, some things that they're in the midst of right now. They've got to make some decisions here. They got to make some choices here. But God, they want your help. They want your guidance. I pray, God, they come talk to you this morning. Perhaps, God, there's somebody here that they know someone they love and care for deeply that's been following their heart. And their heart keeps leading them into one mess after another. And they want to pray and intercede on that person's behalf. I pray, God, they come talk to you this morning. And God, perhaps if some folks want to talk about something else, has nothing to do with this message. Nothing. But something else is on their mind.